from the selected addresses of Clarence Steves, CSB. Love, Association Address of 1963, Part 1. When Mary Baker Eddy discovered God to be love, and thus divine principle, she wrote, "Love, what a word! I am in awe before it." Miscellaneous Writings. Why does she say, "in awe before it"? Is this a promised land, a universe of love, which we look for and hope with longing prayer some day to be able to experience? Mrs. Eddy also says, "I have a world of wisdom and love to contemplate." Ibid. Where is this universe of love before which our leader stood in awe? Was it not her own conscious identification? What does the word awe mean? It has the meaning of sublime, wonder, majesty, and reverence. She saw that this universe was her own universal body, and that man is this wonder of eternal mind. That man is the sublimity of truth, the majesty of principle, the freshness of soul, the unalterable fact of perfect being. Then, cannot we too stand in awe before this word love? Man is not something outside contemplating love. We can acknowledge here and now that man is the universe of love. Man lives in and as divine love. Man moves in and as divine love. Man has being in and as divine love. This is the oneness of Father and Son, mind and its infinite, indissoluble manifestation. The scientific statement of being, as given in the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, shows us that we never have been part of a universe of time and personal sense, that only infinite mind is infinity manifesting itself, is all. So we are to acknowledge that this universe of love is body, is home, is government, is church, is man, is all. Therefore, let us get used to being the universe of love, not something that wants to be loved, not something that is trying to find something or someone to love, but that man is the loveliness of love. Our leader saw that this synonym love also embraces the intrinsic value of the quality principle within it. In this concept of the divine principle, love, we find the love that never faileth, the love that is impersonal, the love that is universal. There is no personal sense to love or to be loved. If we refuse to accept the world belief that we are persons, then we will not be trying to love. God is love, and man is the expression of God's loving. Man does not love. Man is God loving, God being. Man is the embodiment of God, principle, love itself. Someone once asked, "Please define the word love." And I answered, "You cannot define it intellectually. You can only live it. Yes, love must be lived. Love must be felt. This love is living, and this love is feeling, is conscious identity, and it centers on the very minutiae of daily life. Love goes to every part of the body, universe, government, home, church, and makes it every whit whole." In her poem, Satisfied, Mrs. Eddy writes, "It matters not what be thy lot, so love doth guide." And she continues, "And of these stones and tyrants' thrones, God able is to raise up seed in thought and deed to faithful his." The stones are disposed of because love knows nothing hard, nothing harsh. Love is the law of refinement. The law of love is the law of purity. It is the law of gentleness. When someone asked Satchmo Armstrong, the jazz artist, to define jazz, he replied, "When you have to define it, brother, you ain't got it." So when we try to define love, we do not have it. Love cannot be defined. Words cannot define love. Love is soul, and soul is indefinable. It is a feeling. Love is the term for God that must be felt. To feel and know that God is love, and that this love is present and felt, is to give the cup of cold water in Christ's name. Now let us see that this day is proceeding from and resting upon love. It has no objects of sense in it to love or be loved. It is simply love, immaculate, wholesome, pure love, seeing nothing unlike itself. This is the message of today, that love never loses sight of loveliness, science and health. Sometimes we are tempted to believe that we like someone or that we dislike someone. But let us see that to like or dislike is personal. It is the evil, hypnotic suggestion that one is personal, local. Let us heal this suggestion today and see that man is love, loving. It is the pure love of God. Why did Mrs. Eddy begin the chapter on Christian Science Practice with an illustration of pure impersonal love, science and health? Here was Mary Magdalene, a strange woman, an outcast. Yet Jesus knew that the love that is God is present in all its immaculateness, all its purity, to outshine any suggestion contrary to this love. Mrs. Eddy says that if the scientist reaches his patient through divine love, the healing will be instantaneous. Then in order to have instantaneous healing in our work, we must have the love that is divine. It is not enough to be loving. It is not enough to be kind. This will not heal. But the love that looks right straight through that which calls itself the patient and sees love that is God, this will outshine the patient, and then the patient will say, "I am well." What is the patient? The patient is not a person, a place, or a thing. The patient is simply the suggestion that God is not all present and not all power. God is all present, and God is all power, and nothing apart from Him is present or has power. Therefore, the Christian Science treatment that knows itself to be love knows itself to be the love that is principle. It is always restful, peaceful. It never makes the mistake of taking in the picture and then trying to heal it. Christian Science heals scientifically. Christian Science heals metaphysically. Christian Science does not heal physically. It does not heal theologically. Christian Science is metaphysical healing, and this healing comes in the understanding that the only mind there is present, and it alone is present to manifest or to express itself. So let us be obedient to our leader and find this way of love. Our leader was never interested in what someone thought of her or said about her. She did not live as a person. When she asked in one of her classes, "Do you love me?" they all replied, "Yes." Then she said, "Love and include me, but don't love me as a person." The moment we have an object to love, our love ceases to be principle. The love that is principle loves. It loves as the sun shines. It knows nothing unlike itself. Is not this the reason that our leader says, that the adamants of self-will, self-love, self-justification are against spirituality? The true sense of love as principle, being present and in manifestation, will not leave a self to be willful, a self that needs to be justified, or that could possibly love a false sense. The love that is principle is present now, and is specifically felt, universally felt, and man is this feeling of love's presence. Man has no other feeling, because man's soul is God, man's mind is God, man's substance is God, man's seeing is God. Then all there is to man is God being what God is, and what God is, man is by reflection. Man gives back to God all that God gives. This is reflection. Man has nothing as man. Man is simply the term, the scientific term, for all that God is being. Hence this universal, generic man includes all identification. Is this not the reason that the Bible says, "My glory will I not give to another"? It must be, because there is no another. The Bible also states, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That is, thou shalt have no love before me. Thou shalt have no identification before me. This me is spirit, God. Our leader tells us that spirit constitutes its identification man. Then is man something separate from God that must love? Or is man the love that is principle, giving identity to itself? We know the answer is the latter. Do not be afraid of what Christian Science teaches. We know Christian Science has lifted us out of petty personal love, the love that parades as person. The common, popular use of this word love has been far removed from the true meaning, the love that is principle, and has taken on the connotation of lust. Let us know that animal magnetism cannot take this pure, unadulterated word love and call it lust. Let us be sure that we see that love never possesses its object. Love inspires. Love designates. Love illumines. It is therefore necessary for us today to be clear that the love that is principle is alone present. The love, the truth, the life, the law that is God constitutes its identity, and this identity is man. Man is mind's way of making itself known as the operation of good, the indivisible I am as cause, effect, present and identified, is the very function of his identity. Hence there is no man there, no man here. This man is everywhere. Even if it looks like another, it still is the indivisible I am that I am. We are sometimes fooled by this false sense of a personal love, and then we seem to feel guilt-ridden, condemned, unwanted, unloved. Let us say to this evil hypnotic suggestion, there is no truth in this picture that you are presenting, because to be truthful, it must be loving, kind, because God is love. Love means freedom. Love means perfect action. Love means perfect functioning. There is, therefore, no love in this picture of self-condemnation. And because there is no love in it, then there is no truth in it, because love alone is life, God. See that man's identity cannot be reached by any evil suggestion, whatever, no matter what form it seems to take or in what form it seems to appear. God, love, does not know it or see it, and God is all-knowing, and God is all-seeing. Then what is it that sees it, and knows it, and feels it? Is it not the opposite? Mrs. Eddy writes, "The exterminator of error is the great truth that God, good, is the only mind, science and health. Let us remember that this mind is love, the love that is principle, the love that never loses sight of loveliness. Therefore, nothing can obscure this love, nothing can deflect this love, and call its deflection a human being with flesh, living in personal sense, or time sense, or space sense. There is no space in the law of love. God fills all space. Where then is the human being? God and man are coexistent. Then where is the personality? When all is mind, and mind is infinite, all in all, there is no space left for error, personal sense, to occupy. All space is filled with God. There is no space. There is no space to conquer. There is no space to go into. God, real, tangible, solid, firm, is all present. Thus, there is no space. Let us handle this argument that there is space to conquer, space to be explored. There is no space between God and man, and God and man is the one universal being, the being that is both cause and effect. Since God fills all space, where is the patient? Where is this demand that says, heal me, please? Where is this personal body, when God is all in all? We must live this Christ attitude, that is, this pure, whole, perfect love that Christian Science is demonstrating. Christian Science, through the law of love, elevates. It never condemns. That is why Mrs. Eddy begins the chapter on prayer in the textbook with unselfed love. An unselfed love is quite different from an unselfish love. An unselfed love is the love that has no self. With unselfish love, there are persons involved. Someone feels so unselfish because he is doing what he calls loving acts, kind acts for others, wearing himself out, permitting animal magnetism to rob him. But unselfed love is the love in which there is no self. There is just the love that is principle, expressing itself. Jesus lived the agape love, the love of compassion, the love of pure redemption, the love of restoration, which looks through the offensive act and sees the pure Christ man. Thus Jesus could say, "Thy sins are forgiven," because the sin was no part of man, the glory of God. When the agape love is being experienced, there is nothing to condemn. This word agape is one of several Greek words, all of which are translated as love in the English version of the Bible. The Greek language has separate words, philos, to express brotherly love, as the word Philadelphia, eros, to express romantic love, and so on. But in the original Greek testaments, the word for love most often attributed to Jesus is agape. Agape means the love that loves simply because it is love, without respect to persons. It is the love which needs no object, the love that is universal, the love that never loses sight of loveliness. Thus it was the agape love with which Jesus beheld all. So when the agape love is being experienced, there is nothing to condemn. The Christ model is seen to be the only model. It is the model from the Sermon on the Mount. It is the model from which Jesus beheld the perfect man. See with this Christ vision, with which Jesus saw constantly, if a sinning mortal appeared to Jesus, he looked through it and saw the model of love of God, that is, the Christliness of all being intact, perfect. We are not seeing mortals. We are not sinning mortals trying to be immortal or trying to make the old into the new. Nor are we made up of a congregation of persons called Christian Scientists who look at other Christian Scientists and judge them as whether or not they are acting up to what they feel is Christian Science. Why do we permit this adulteration? Anything is immoral or adulterous that sees less than pure being. In the Bible we read, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." To see something less than God and call it man is to adulterate. Man is God's action. Man is God functioning. Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." We are alone with our own being and with the reality of things. Then we must never see man as effect. See God. Cause is being. This seeing is man. Are we elevating the membership of our churches? In the glossary of the textbook, under the definition of church, Mrs. Eddy writes, "The church is that institution found elevating the race, science and health." Are we critical of one another? Do we permit self-condemnation to suggest itself? To elevate the race is joyful exaltation, joyful acknowledgement, and acceptance of the science of being as present identification. This is elevation. It constitutes self-immolation, unselfed love. In this elevation, we must learn to go unto the mountain, the mount of transfiguration, so to speak. From the mountain, the pettiness of personal sense begins to disappear. We begin to lose all sense of persons, because from the mountain, the light of ever-present love exalts us, but not emotionally, nor in a mental intoxication. It exalts us beyond the use of words, beyond phraseology, beyond stereotyped borrowed speeches. It exalts us into singing. It is the quietness which comes when sense is dumb, and the still small voice of calm becomes the voice of God, the inward voice saying, "I am that I am." As long as we stay on the level of condemnation or personal sense, we have forfeited the Christ vision, which is the only healer. Condemnation is to accept evil on its own basis. It says, "Give me a man." Christian Science does not give evil a man because Christian Science recognizes the only man there is, the expression of God's being, God's own self-reflection. In Christian Science, we are not dealing with material personalities possessing separate, private minds which must be educated in order to have salvation. In Christian Science, we find that there is but one infinite mind identifying itself as all the mind there is. All the man there is conscious identity. Nothing is present as personality. What is present is divine mind expressing itself. Christian Science shows us how to stay on the mount and look out from the perfect vision that is God. Looking through the eyes of God, spiritual discernment, we see nothing unlike the risen Christ. In the story of Jacob, we meet the claim of animality and jealousy, plus the attempt to steal the birthright of another. Then the fear comes, and the fear says, "Run." So Jacob runs into a foreign country. He soon begins to accumulate what are called goods, but he wants to return home eventually. How can he return home when his brother has threatened to kill him? Perhaps it was necessary for Jacob to have that struggle in order to see that man was never born, that man never dies, and that man's birthright as the Son of God is forever intact. when Jacob began to see that he was not a person who had wronged another, that he was not a person to be condemned, that he was not a person to hide, when he saw himself to be the Christ nature of God, then he could say, "The day breaketh." Yes, the day breaketh. The moment we acknowledge that man is the Son of God, and that man never was a prodigal, never lost his eternal birthright, never fell from the heaven of God's presence. This is to be the agape love of oneself. It is not enough to be this agape love to what is called another, but we must be this love that is God to ourselves. We are willing to forgive another, and yet, too often, we are not willing to forgive ourselves. It was necessary in the case of Jacob that he see his brother's face as if it were the face of God. It was also necessary for Jacob to lift up his own face without spot, to see his own face as the face of God. Indeed, the day breaketh, the day of truth, the day of love. It will keep breaking until we have the full noon, the glory of the fullness of God's presence. Let not the evangel go, that is, hold as Jacob held, and declare, "I will not let you go until you have blessed me," until you see yourself as the love that is God, as the self-expressing I am. Stand in awe before your true identification. Then the day no longer breaketh, because it is the fullness of light itself. It is the eternal noon. It knows no sunrise. It knows no sunset. It is the charity that never faileth. Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down all sense of self, so that he might see God. This is the baptism of spirit that Mrs. Eddy referred to in Pond and Purpose as the omnipotent act that drops the curtain on material man and mortality, Miscellaneous Writings. When we start out from the standpoint of divine science, and there is no other standpoint, our leader reminds us that we must know the starting point is that God, spirit, is all in all, and there is no other might nor mind. God is love, and therefore he is divine principle. Then we know our starting point is correct. Thus, what appears to be another is really not another. It is the love that is God saying, "I am. I am all." Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Sometimes the love that is principle appears stern to personal sense, as in the case of Peter, when Jesus rebuked him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Yet it was this love that is principle that was needed in Peter's experience. When this love met the mob about to stone the woman, what did Jesus do? What did Mary Baker Eddy do with the same woman in the chapter on Christian Science Practice? Did they not both speak with the penetrating Christ love when they said, "Thy sins are forgiven"? Why? Because agape love knows no sin, knows no sinner. We must be this impartial, universal love. We must abide in that spiritual state that does not fight error as a reality, but confidently allows love to resolve it. In doing so, we live Christian Science. Understanding is the line of daily being, God, man, being one, then the line between reality and unreality is established. Then one is never fooled by appearances, and makes no attempt to treat the unreal, to make it conform to reality, or to make the unreal real. unreality cannot be treated to make it a better unreality. The scientific statement of being has shown us that matter is unreal and temporal. Then anything that matter presents must be unreal and untrue. The work of the metaphysician is to see what is reality, and to identify the world with and as this reality. As this truth of being or reality is accepted, God and man, one being, we must turn on the so-called mental assassin that would impose itself as the ego. We must dismiss it as unreal and not try to treat it. We must see it as the murderer from the beginning, that is, we must see it as that which would deny the infinity of our being, that would deny the eternality of our being. Let us be certain that man has never been less than God, being love itself. We must dismiss the unreal with an abiding conviction that it is unreal. God does not need a treatment. Man exists as God's being, so man needs no treatment either. Then this whole picture is nothing, and must be seen as nothing, for there is no God in it, and therefore there is no man in it. The one harmonious being, God, man, one, must be seen as all. Never see man as separated from God, even for an instant. See man as God's being, God in action, God loving, God knowing. This is the only possible way reflection can be experienced. Let us know we cannot be made to forget that spiritual sense alone testifies to the truth of our being. That corporeal sense lies and cheats. It cannot tell us the truth, because there is no truth in it. Why listen, then, to that which would defraud and is wholly dishonest? We cannot be made to believe that there is something present besides God, man. For where man is, God is. So God is all that is. And this is love. This is principle. We know that the starting point of divine science is that God, Spirit, is all in all, and there is no other mind, and this God is principle, love. Therefore, man is both lovely and lovable, because man is God being love. Thus, we must never try to be loving. This denotes personal sense. We must see that the love that is God is present and cannot be interrupted, cannot be interfered with, never. Under any circumstances, try to make yourself loving or try to make yourself love someone. Instead, acknowledge that the love that is divine principle, the love that alone is life, the love that is truth, the love that is soul, with all of its feelings, with all of its action, this love is present and is identifying itself as the only self. This leaves nothing but love to be experienced. To have the feeling of love itself is to be relaxed, free, noble, grand. To feel happy and comfortable in the presence of what appears to be as others is to be the love that is alone present. Love is always comfortable, peaceful, balanced, calm. Love never tries to heal. Love never loses sight of loveliness, for the love that is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, sees nothing that cannot be loved. I have seen the most stubborn cases healed when all argument was laid aside. Reality knows nothing of a personal nature, does not respond to it, and does not record it. The procession of false mental pictures, birth, growth, maturity, decay, death, these false mental pictures leave no impression on fundamental consciousness. The divine understanding reigns, is all, and there is no other consciousness. Science and Health. this procession of false mental pictures, calling themselves waking dreams, sleeping dreams, must be seen as having no identity, not a person, a place, nor a thing. It is simply the way the one negative, carnal, so-called mind is appearing or suggesting itself. It says I, when it is not I at all. The ego is divine and is constantly identifying itself, its nature, its essence, its wholeness, and this identification is given the term man. See that man is the scientific term for all that God is knowing, being, seeing. Man is not something separate from God. Man is God's consciousness of what God is. God is all, and the consciousness is man. Nothing exists but God and God's idea. Be certain that you see that this consciousness knows only its present perfection. We must watch gossip. Yes, many of us are wise and alert not to gossip about what we call another. We know the deadliness of having another. To have another is to have the devil, and it will act like the devil. Mrs. Eddy has said, "Have but one God, and you will have no devil." Let us see that we must not gossip with ourselves either. We must not gossip with ourselves concerning what we said, what we did, or what we didn't say or didn't do. It is all a form of egotism, self-importance, sympathetic mesmerism, all attempting to get us out into the procession. It was related that Mrs. Eddy once said to her students that we get up in the morning, wash our garments clean, then we go forth into the day and enter the procession of many. We enter the procession of people doing, people not doing. We see ourselves as personal Christian scientists, approving and disapproving, liking those who like what we like and vote as we vote, but disliking those who do not do things our way. We see people smoking, and let false personal sense come in with its self-righteousness. We see people drinking. We see ads on the television telling us to take this or take that. Then, in a form of self-righteousness, we condemn it. But do we really see that it isn't going on at all? No electrical contrivance calling itself television, radio, and the like can make it real. Nor can it leave an impression on us. See that there is only the soul that is God present, and the soul that is God is identifying itself in its purity. Let us stop malpracticing upon our world. Let us today wash our garments clean, wash them clean, and keep them clean. Why this senseless parading? Is it because we do not accept the scientific statement of being? It must be. Do we see that we are not persons doing or not doing? Do we understand that the mind that is infinite, the mind that is divine, the mind that is all, is present and expressing itself lawfully, joyously, and intelligently? The human mind claims to be expressing itself through personalities. The divine mind, reality, is expressing itself through its ever-present Christ. This is the law of refinement, the law of perfection. It is the law of recovery to that which seems to be lost. It is the law of annihilation to that which should be annihilated. It is the law to all, one and all. Let us be sure we see that right where the human so-called mind is depicting us as humans needing to solve problems, right there the divine mind is expressing itself in its indivisible, universal nature. This is most important because it is the Christ restoration. In Science and Health we read, "Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need." We sometimes believe that any seeming need will be met simply by declaring this truth. But the statement says, "It is divine love that will meet the need." Then ask yourself, Where is my divine love? It is divine love that wipes out the human need. It is this great love, divine love, that is so needed today. If we start out from the standpoint of divine love, not the human need, then the standpoint is correct. Seek ye first divine love, the kingdom of God, and all shall be added unto you. A human need is simply the absence of love, that is, the suggested absence of love. So in order to meet the human need, we must see that the love that is principal is present, in operation, and that it is specifically felt. This leaves no absence called the human need. But let us see clearly that it is divine love that meets the need, the love that is impartial, universal, all-inclusive, not a selfish sense, but all-inclusive. This is what meets the need, love that is divine principle. It is the true sense of agape love that is so needed by the world today. This love is not persons trying to be loving, but it is the absence of that which is called personality. It is the absence of that which is called personal sense that lets the love that is divine outshine the offensive people around us, outshine that which would be offensive to all. Then we no longer will throw stones, so to speak, at others. But like Jesus, we too can say, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. But all are with sin when they see their brother as a personality, or see their brother as something less than God being. The only stone there is the hardness of heart, which refuses to see our brother's face as if it were the face of God. On page 412 of Science and Health, a marginal note says, Eloquent silence. Beginning at line 13, we read, The power of Christian Science and divine love is omnipotent. It is indeed adequate to unclasp the hold and to destroy disease, sin, and death. Then what is this eloquent silence? It is the love that needs no words to say, I love. The love that is principle needs no words. It is expressed in thought and action. The love that is principle is so all-inclusive, so universal, it leaves nothing unloved. This pure, divine, all-inclusive love is light. When it is turned on in the world, the darkness, the personal sense, cannot cling. Darkness does not cling to the things in a room when we turn on the light. So when we turn on the love that is divine, darkness, hate, resentment, harsh feelings, the stones of personal sense, are dissolved and leave only the love that is God present. Let us see that the love that is principle, with its infinite penetration, is all that is present anywhere, and this is universal. We need to claim our birthright of freedom and our birthright of loveliness. To claim means to demand on the grounds of right, to hold, to be true against implied denial or doubt. We must demand with the birthright of the Son of God, with divine authority, that the love that is principle is present to be experienced. As long as one is experiencing life, and that is forever, one must experience love, because life and love are synonymous. Life and love, that is principle, are adherent in our birthright under divine authority. In our textbook, Mrs. Eddy gives us this testimony of spirit. I am spirit. Man, whose senses are spiritual, is my likeness. He reflects the infinite understanding, for I am infinity, the beauty of holiness, the perfection of being, imperishable glory. All are mine, for I am God. I give immortality to man, for I am truth. I include and impart all bliss, for I am love. I give life without beginning and without end, for I am life. I am supreme and give all, for I am mind. I am the substance of all, because I am that I am. It is this infinite understanding, this beauty of holiness, this perfection of being, this impartial, glowing, flowing love that leaves no dam, called Adam. It leaves no Adam man, called me or you, only the flowing, loving, knowing straight from principle. It becomes the substance of all, the action of all, and this is the inheritance that belongs to the Son of God. Acknowledge your birthright here and now, and know that nothing can interfere with that birthright, the birthright of dominion, the birthright of inclusiveness. We must not only claim every quality of God as constituting identity, but we must live these qualities against any attempted denial or doubt. The force of love that is principle, love, here and now, repels every suggestion of the carnal mind, negative, evil one, and we can say, Thy will be done, because the will of God is the will of love, that love is all that is present to be experienced here, now, everywhere, and always. Let us never be fooled, even for a moment, into believing that there is something present that needs to be eliminated. Love, love, this is the word that best describes our dear Father, Mother, God. And it is the word that best describes man. God's love made manifest. Be this love. Sing this love. Rejoice in this love, because it is the substance of your being. It is your action. It is your blood. It is your digestion. It is your assimilation. It is your very heartbeat. It is the pressure. It is the circulation. It is the temperature. It is everything that means health, that means wholeness, that means completeness. In short, as our leader wrote in the last verse of her poem, Love, For love alone is life, and life most sweet, as heart to heart, speaks kindly when we meet and part. Let us thank God that we are living the love that is principle, this undeviating love, this continuous love that is all. End Part 1.